We're back on Buckets of Books to talk about our recent reads.
Yeah, as usual, I'm going to pull back a throwback that we've talked about a long time ago. This is How You Lose the Time War, which I feel like as soon as you told me about, I put it kind of closer to the top of my to read list, and it was one of the first things that I got from the library now that I'm a card-carrying member. And I thought that this was so gorgeous and different and creative. The first few pages, I was kind of like, okay, what are these two different agencies we're talking about? You know, I'm not usually as into, like, high concept stuff, but, like, these love letters were so good and so beautifully, poignantly simple in a way that I would not have expected for such a high concept story.
I think that's a good way to describe it. It's like my feelings change depending on when I'm thinking about it. When you mention it now, like, I do love that contrast of, like, this very pure, simple love and then the very intense, crazy, like, incomprehensible world that it's taking place in. So, like, that is nice with each other.
Yeah. At times I did have a hard time following, like, how is this time travel possible and, like, the strands and the threads, but I kind of think, unlike a lot of sci-fi, you're, like, not really it doesn't really matter if you don't get every detail, you know? Maybe you're not even supposed to get all of it, or, like, a lot of that goes over your head. I feel like there's intense world building, but I feel like the authors know what they figured out, but don't share all of it. Only kind of a small portion that we need. And so it did have me feeling a little bit lost toward the beginning, but now I want to reread it, but, you know, I got it from the library. That's my criticism of that.
I was just about to say that I want to reread it, like, accepting that I'm not going to understand everything and see how that plays out. I don't usually reread books, so I might have to wait a bit for this one. But I don't know. I did really like it, and I love, like, these different stories into other lives. Like, that's my favorite thing when it just, like, it pauses and it's like it's a high fantasy book, and it's also just like, and here's her knitting a red blanket, and let's just take a moment with this blanket. Like, I like these, like, little slice of life stories, in case you hadn't noticed. So I liked that a lot.
You're right, there are just such tiny details. Like, you focus so much on a sumac seed, you know, and, like, really zoom in, and so many of those descriptions are so ingrained in nature too, which is the contrast with the concept, which makes sense with the two different, like, worn sides too. There's, like, the really tech one, right, and the garden that's all organic and natural. So I feel like the whole storyline fell into that dynamic, like the pure love, beauty, nature, like, we're gonna sit and weave grass and look at the birds and all of that, and then, like, well, like, we're in hand-to-hand combat and time traveling again.
Yeah, I don't know, I liked it a lot. It's like, it's very quick too, the chapters or the letters go by really fast. Like, I think it's totally worth it. Even, yeah, I liked it.
Maybe my favorite thing about it was its love of reading and books, you know, because with the letters, you know, each letter is written in such a crazy way, like in a star, in a sumac seed, or whatever, in an owl pellet, I think the seal was my favorite because it was like the play on words, like the sealed letter. But there's so much talk of reading and writing and how in their world they're a bit beyond that, but they still like to read physical books and write these physical letters that aren't on paper, and they spend a lot of time with that. And I love a book that makes you just stop and just be glad to be reading for the sake of reading.
Reading for the sake of reading, totally. It's just like, it's a really good story with or without the fantasy aspects. Like, I would read it even if it was just them through time. I think the title at first confused me because I was expecting there to be more war, at least more of an explained war going on. But I liked it even though that wasn't really clarified ever.
Yeah, well, like, I guess how I interpreted that, you're right, it is sort of misleading, but I interpreted it as, like falling in love, like, this whole emotional journey is how you lose the time war, because they're no longer loyal to their own sides, and they kind of, like, break away.
Interesting, like, fighting against time rather than for time. That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess there is, like, a different reflection with that, but I was also kind of uncertain about the end. Like, at first, Blue died, and then they kind of went back in time, and I liked the twist that the person who'd been following them was actually her in the future. Although, like, I think I kind of saw it coming a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't totally understand that, but I liked that, definitely.
Yeah, I just didn't quite get, like, how exactly she was brought back to life. But I was glad we got a happy ending, at least.
Yeah, me too. I enjoyed it a lot. I like that style, too. I'm glad I read it. I would definitely recommend.
Yeah, and I liked how, like, the tone of the letters was very distinct, and so, like, you just through the writing style got a sense of the two different separate characters.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's a lot to love about it. Sorry,
totally
go
agree.
Ahead.
No, I was just saying I totally agree.
So you said that you were reading something kind of similar?
Yeah, I just finished reading, I don't know how similar, I finished reading The City We Became by N.K. Jemisin, which has been on my list for, like, since it came out, which I think was a kind of a long time ago. It's all about New York, and it's like this very high concept fantasy book as well. She only almost exclusively writes fantasy, and she does very, very high creating her own world fantasy. And this is, like, in New York, right, like, happening right now. And the only thing that's different about it is that one person in each borough becomes this, like, avatar for their borough, and they get powers isn't quite the right word, but they're able to, like, their strength comes from the city, and so, like, there are these other people in other cities, like in Paris or Sao Paulo or, like, Hong Kong, or, like, people in each city, when it becomes a city, gets this avatar, and this avatar is able to, like, it's, like, the life of the city. So, like, the avatar dies, and the city, it's not like the city just dies, but it's, like, if the avatar dies, the city will start to collapse. Or, like, if a bridge in their city collapses, the avatar, like, feels that pain or whatever. Which, so, like, I love writing about New York, and it's, like, it's a lot about Manhattan, especially. And it's just, like, a lot about, like, it really is, like, a love letter to the city, which she says it is. It's a very, like, I was expecting to, like, really, really, really love it. And I think it also has this very specific style where it's very much so, like, a poetic, prosy mix, which I usually love, where it's, like, the word, it's, like, very much so trying to get at what the feel of the city is in the words and trying to, like, almost onomatopoeia, where it's not like it's the sound of a siren, but it's, like, trying to copy that, like, fast, kind of all over the place, whatever. So whenever they're, like, becoming a city, the writing changes with them, which is interesting, and it's, like, it's a super interesting concept, but it's also one of these things where it's, like, it's not that it's hard to follow, but it's, like, there's this enemy who's trying to destroy all of them, and it's just, like, what's her goal? Why is this enemy here? Or, so the boroughs meet up, which, a little bit of a spoiler, but, like, not really, that's what you would expect. And so all the boroughs meet up with each other, and it's, like, and they're all so different. Like, obviously, they're all completely different because they, like, represent their borough and, like, whatever the charms and the faults of their boroughs are. Like, partially what their borough is stereotyped to be, but also, like, what it actually is. And so that is, like, such a perfect opportunity for, like, this friendship and these relationships to form, and not, it doesn't really, like, there really aren't, they have a relationship with each other because they're, like, fighting for their lives and the lives of the city, but it's, like, it's just not, I don't know, I feel like that's such a great place for these relationships to form, and they kind of just like fall short of how close they could be, or how against each other they could be. Like, they're kind of neutral to each other, which like bothered me a bit.
You love a group dynamic.
I do, but even if they were like, even if they all hated each other, which like they do kind of hate each other, but like they're just like, they're neutral almost, where it's like, yes, I don't like you, but we're gonna work together and I'm never gonna see you again. It's like, I wish they, like, it's like neutral is like they almost don't care. Like, I wish they hadn't picked a feeling about each other.
Yeah. That's not a cool concept, though. It, like, makes me feel like it should be a cartoon. Like, mm-hmm. It just popped into my mind that, like, show Gargoyles from when I was a kid. But you did like the writing style. Was that the best part? Or did you like the concept itself?
I liked the writing style at certain parts. I love, like, I do like writing when it's very heavily stylized. It's like, I don't know, I like this a lot, and I don't think it relied too much on the writing, but I think from a reader's perspective, the style really, like, carried a lot of the plot, almost, and it needed sort of more plot to back up the style. But, like, it was beautiful to read, but it was, like, a lot of this beauty that was just, like, going on and on. And, like, it was a lot of, like, here's a street we're running down that you would only know if you live in New York, or, like, here's a description about the F train, or, like, something like that, which, like, I know and I love, but it's, like, a lot of the plot is just these descriptions and this style, and the actual plot itself is kind of lacking.
Gotcha. Like, sort of the whole idea is, like, New York, and that's...
Yeah, the idea is definitely New York, obviously. I don't know, I wish that it was just, like, I think if the plot had cleared up my, quote-unquote, problems with it would be solved. But it was interesting. I also think I had very, very high expectations for it, so then I was disappointed when it, like, wasn't perfectly meeting those expectations. But I don't know.
What were the archetypes like for each borough? Because I feel like you'd have to be, like, so careful not to stereotype or just be a cliche.
Stereotype? I think archetype is a better word than stereotype, but... Manhattan was this, like, tall, charming, like, very cocky guy, was, like, kind of selfish, but he also, like, he's just so charismatic that everyone wants to be, like, close to him. And then Brooklyn was a black politician who has a daughter, and she used to be a DJ, and she lives with her dad and her daughter in, like, a brownstone, like, a gorgeous brownstone. And she's very, like, very set. Like, of them, she's the most, quote-unquote, traditional, but, like, she's not at all traditional. She has her set path that she, like, doesn't want to stray from. And then the Bronx she was a Lenape gallery owner. She was cool, and she was, like, very much so, like, if you're in her inner circle, she would totally, totally protect you. And then if you're anyone who's not immediately close to her, she, like, kind of hates you. Not hates you, but she's, like, you need to give her a reason to trust you, I guess. And then Staten Island I thought was really interesting because she was, like, I don't want to spoil it. She's, like, an antagonist for, like, basically all of it. She's super conservative, or at least her family is super conservative. She's never left Staten Island. She's, like, she lives with her parents, and she's, like, she was gonna go to the city for college, and then her dad, like, forced her to stay home, and she's, like, terrified of Manhattan, and, like, also kind of hates it because it's Manhattan, and, like, thinks that, like, this traditional path is just, like, what, I don't know, Staten Island is just the best because it has this traditional path. And then Queens she's a PhD student, who's an immigrant. And I think she lives with her aunt, and she's, like, super, super math genius. I don't know, it's, like, it is really interesting to see this personified version of them, but then they, like, their interactions with each other are just, like, I don't know, the bonds are, like, falling short.
Yeah. That sounds good, but that's interesting to have a story that's so character-driven. and a group of characters, but not a group dynamic.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay. So that one's kind of a question mark on whether to recommend.
It's a question mark. I think, I don't know. I can't imagine reading it not being from New York, but maybe I would like it more if I wasn't, just, or like if I had never lived here, just because it's like, wow, New York, I want to, I don't know. It's like, it's interesting.
The magnet of it entices like, people.
Mm-hmm. It's totally different reading it if you live in New York or if you don't live in New York. Like, it's, I don't know, it's interesting.
Yeah. Well, listeners, let us know what you think, and if you live in New York or not.
So this was like a 1.5 recommendations today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We'll yeah, be- so strongly recommend This Is How You Lose the Time War.
Yeah. But we'll be back next week on Buckets of Books.